I have been through it.
You've been through it.
And I've contemplated suicide. Twice. And I was in tears just by then.
What happened?
I come to
I am comfortable.
Hey, my love. Welcome to Take to the Bank.
Thank you.
What does Emma Lord mean?
Okay, so Emma Lord thinking is Laurentia in my life.
Laurentia in my life?
Yeah, so.
Are you chasing the brand?
Of course.
What brand are you chasing?
Okay, so I'm a free spirited person.
Okay.
I do what makes me free, what makes me happy, such as I do buying and selling.
Okay.
I do media,
okay.
And then I occasionally do host programming for friends.
You do host for friends?
Yes.
So
MC program,
you know.
A birthday party, a fashion show. The recent one I hosted was a fashion show.
Fashion show, let us know.
Yes.
How was it?
It was
preparation
good.
And everything.
Oh, well, you see, being in the media space, emceeing comes a little bit easier.
Easier.
Because it's the everyday use of the language, be it both English and local. That is what I do. I blend them together for whatever program
you have to.
Yes.
I feel like you enjoy doing it more.
Well, I do enjoy doing it. I would say that I'm an introvert, but when I get into when I get into the mood, or if I know that this is the program I have, when I step on stage, then I'm a different person altogether. But privately, I'm very, very introverted.
Introverted. So how is the switch like? Because how can you be so introverted and when it's time for work, you switch? How does it work?
It's passion.
It's passion
because I've always wanted to make a difference.
Okay,
and the best way that I can make a difference is through the media.
It's through the media.
Yes. Everybody listens to the radio, everybody watches TV, and now various social media handles are there, so everybody is with a phone at one point in time, except when you are sleeping or when you're on the sick bed. So social media reaches a lot of people. Yes, and I've always wanted to make a difference. So when I think about making the difference, I just switch.
Just switch.
Yes.
Okay.
When I make a switch, I use my local name for
your local name. What's that?
Yes, Nayemule.
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 What a powerful name. What does Yemule mean?
First female child. So I use that to do business.
Educate us a little bit about your name, Nayemule, first female child. What culture it belongs to, what tradition it belongs to.
Okay. So I'm a Ga.
Yeah.
100% Ga. So
that means in the Ga traditional culture, when you have a first female child, you name it.
Yes, for my clan.
For your clan.
Yeah. Na Yemule.
Yemule.
Yes.
I wonder how it's spelled.
Yemoley for the Yemule. Na is Naa.
It sounds like a Gen Z Naa, you know. But now it's hosting something you always wanted to do when you're growing up as a young girl.
No.
What did you want to become?
Okay, so I wanted to become the first female doctor in my family.
What does that mean to you?
I previously said that I've always wanted to make a difference.
Yeah.
Yes, so I felt at the time that helping people through sickness, taking care of them, making people better was the thing.
So at what point did you decide, like, you know, this doctor's name is not for me anymore?
No, I didn't decide. I don't know how that changed.
Same came about.
Because BEC,
yeah,
were the first batch for computer selection. So the computer did the school selection and the course selection. So
for you?
I ended up getting home economics. So when I went to the school, I decided to do a switch. There was a housemate who was in science and also wanted to do a switch. So we went to the head of school, and then she was like, since the computer is selected, there's no way we can do the switch.
So that means the computer chose a path.
Yes, so I was given home economics at Winneba Secondary School. I went and I did food and nutrition. So I was like, okay, so food and nutrition, I can do nursing with it. And then after the nursing, I'll continue to be a dietitian or a nutritionist. So I was like, not getting science directly, the general science directly, doesn't stop me from, because food and nutrition, I did elective biology, management, and living. So everything was in line for me to pursue. But yeah, you know, man proposes, but God disposes. I wouldn't say I'm in the wrong.
Man
proposes, but God disposes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm in the wrong profession, because I'm happy doing what I do now.
So it's God's plan. I think I also have a story about computer choosing my path. I wanted to do my service in the oil company, and I ended up in a school. In a school, we are all victims. But anyway, like you said, God disposes. Well, so far, you've been doing media work, like hosting, TV presenting, writing, selling. How long have you been doing it?
Okay, so 2014, I attended GBC Radio and Television Training School, RTDS.
So that's 10 years. Almost
1974. Yeah, 10 years. We were the intake 7 for 2024. Like, since the school started, intake 7.
What does intake 7 mean?
The 7th batch.
Okay.
Yes. So intake 7. We started in August. It was very intense. The training was very intense, and then we ended in October, and then I quite remember when I picked the form and all that, the in charge for the training school asked me, why do you want to be in the media space? And I was like, I just want to make a difference. Difference you want to make. And I'm like, I don't know, but I just feel that this is the place for me to make a difference.
This is the place. Yeah.
So she said, I would advise you, your grades are good. Why don't you further it? I said, oh, it's due to circumstances, but I would work a little and then further and then go do what I want to do. But for now, I feel that the media space will help me make the difference that I want to make. So
reminds me of my conversation with my earlier guest about talking about when you mentioned, I don't know, when the person asks you, why do you want to make a difference in this particular skill? You said, I don't know. And we're talking about figuring it out. So I think you not knowing it was the part in your life where you're also trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And you let life take its course.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I think I want to get there where, you know, I want life to take its course. Because last year, I was on the phone with the friend and he mentioned, like, we're talking about stuff. And I told him, I'm looking for something, but I don't know that particular thing I'm looking for. I still don't have a name for that person, but I have this burning desire that I'm looking for something.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes not knowing something is really, really like a good force or a good place to.
It's not about you not knowing. It's about you not grasping the direction.
The direction, okay.
Okay, because everything has been prepared. The path for you has been laid even before you were born. But sometimes we choose to follow our own designed path, and you get to a point in life and then you realize that something is not working out right. So let me just relax and then see how, wherever life takes me, I try to follow it. Or let me just take a step back, analyze what I have done, where I've got into, and the next action to take. So that is what I did. You know, attending the radio and television training school, it just came like that. Because I remember one day I was talking to my mom and I was like, what these people are doing on TV, I can can do it.
Yeah.
So she was watching telly, and then GBC just rolled the crawler.
Yeah.
When she picked the number, she called me and was like, GBC is training people who want to enter into the media space, so if you want to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, ah. By then I was working as a front desk, front shop assistant at a laundry at a salon down. So she called me, I'm like, okay. So I called, they told me everything. I went in and picked the phone. Then I just told my supervisor at the laundry shop that I'm going to school. So I'm not quitting. If they can give me, by then I've worked for a year. So if they can, I can get a leave. No, no, my leave cannot be more than 2 weeks. So
you had to quit.
I had to
quit.
Because their training was for 3 months, intensive.
Okay.
You'll be there by 8, you close by 5. After 5, you have to do practicals. Even though during the training you are doing practicals, but they have a spare studio that when the class closes at 5, you can choose to go and do further practicals and all that. So I'll end up getting home by 8 o'clock. And I when I started the class, I realized that, man, this is not something difficult. And I came up two programs, I think.
Yeah. What program was that? What was it about?
One is titled The Relationship and View. Anything relationship, be it parents, child, husband, wife, siblings, friends, anything concerning relationship. And then the other one was on daily living.
Daily living. By the relationship and you.
Okay, so I just wanted people to share their relationship experiences. Okay, if you have a problem with your parents or your siblings or your partner.
Who do you speak to?
Yes. How do you go about it?
How do you go about it?
If you know that maybe I've wronged this person and this person is family to me, okay? Because now family is not all about blood. Some friends are closer than a sibling. Like certain things happen, and at one point in time we all make mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah, so how do you retrace it? How do you get back to how the relationship was? So I wanted people to find that healing point on whatever relationship issues that they were having at the time. So that was what inspired me to come up with the program, The Relationship in You.
And I can imagine in 2014, maybe there was a lot of breakups during that year. That's when maybe, you know, people would have found your show very healing.
I did it with my colleagues at the time.
So how was it then after?
GBC.
GBC is
Ghana Broadcasting Corporation.
Corporation, okay. So how was it after the 3 months training?
So after the 3 months training, I went for attachments. I was posted to Ogbonu FM for my attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I did that. After the attachments in February, I came home because they were not employing.
After the training, they were not employing?
No.
So that means this unemployment issue has always been there?
Yes. And there were people who have been doing the attachment for 4 years, and they are there, and then they've not been employed. How much more you who came just yesterday? So you can imagine.
Yeah, but people start talking this way, it makes people want to lose hope in education.
No. You don't lose hope. You know what you are looking for.
You just mentioned, you said, if there are people there who have been there for 4 years, how
yes,
much more?
Some have been there for 5 years.
That could actually kill somebody's spirit in venturing something. Like.
Yes, so in the media space, you need passion.
So what are your takeaways from the media space?
What are?
Takeaways, what have you learned so far being in the space? You mentioned passion.
One, you need passion, yeah. And then constant improvement.
Constant improvement.
Yes, work on yourself, improve your craft and all that.
So that's the most important thing.
And then you should be time conscious.
Because I heard one time that if you're hosting a 6 a.m. show, you're supposed to be around like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine they're robbing you, obviously. Why would somebody choose such a job, you know? Mm. I mean, it's interesting. And you mentioned you do buying and selling.
Yes. I started with innerwears.
Innerwears, okay.
Boxers, underwear, panties, singlets, socks. Okay, so I go to the wholesale and retail, buy it, post it on my status and all that. You need it, and then I deliver it to you.
Was it lucrative?
Yes.
It was. So it's something you stood on?
Yes.
It's something you stood on?
Yes. And then I do buy snacks. I sell snacks. So.
Wow. So when you look back, the now who wanted to become a doctor and the now who's now doing buying and selling at the same time doing media work, hosting, what would you say so far with your journey? Wanting to become a doctor,
okay,
and everything you've seen so far?
So the reason why I wanted to be a doctor is to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the media space, I have found an aspect of
healing,
how to go about it. I told you I was trying to find myself. So I have a program that I have been through it, okay, and I feel it is not being tackled enough in the country as a whole. And then people shun away from it. So that is what I am doing in the media space.
What is your program?
It's pertaining to mental health.
Mental health?
Yes.
So now, mental health is a big thing everywhere in the world.
Yes.
What does mental health mean to you?
Well, mental health means having a sound mind to go about your daily activities. Yes.
Having a sound mind to go about
your daily activities. Yes.
So let's say if I don't know how to go about my daily activities, would you classify me as mentally unstable?
No. Then it means there's something wrong somewhere, because you wouldn't get up and say you won't go about your daily activities. Something has to trigger something. Let's say you wake up and then you are emotionally drained. Okay. You won't have to go along with your daily activities as you normally do. So how do we get you to come out of that emotional situation at the time? How do we get you to be spirited to do
what you're supposed to do
on a daily basis? And then how do we help you for your daily activities not to weigh you down, not to hinder your further growth, not to hinder your interaction with people, basically?
But you know, there are some days when you wake up, you just don't feel like it. So when you don't feel like it, differentiate between moments where you don't feel like it and moments where, you know, you're mentally trying, you know.
We all have those days.
Yeah, when we wake up, we just don't want to do anything.
But it becomes excessive when you know that day one, day two, day three, I don't want to interact with anybody. Day four, I don't want to share what is the reason why I don't want to interact with anybody. They fight. Those around me begin to get concerned. Why is this person keeping to him or herself? Why is he or she not being open as he used to be? Or why is he or she excessively opened? Okay, then you know that
something is wrong
somewhere. So you begin to approach that person little by little. Offer first, you begin by offering comfort, support, okay, whatever the situation is, you know, we are here to help you. two heads are better than one.
Two good heads are better than one.
Yes.
Because you can have two bad heads and they are not better than
problem one. Shared is half solved.
Yeah.
You begin to make the person feel that, no, whatever the situation is that is weighing you down, you are not alone. You have a support system.
A support system.
And it's something that we like the most, support system.
It's something that we like the most.
Because the moment you share your problem with someone, okay, then they begin to share it with other people. So
I believe if you don't share with the right people, they're going to share it to other people.
Yes. And how do you know this is the right person to share my problem
with? Somebody you feel that you're able to know this person that, is right.
No, some people can put on a mask without you knowing. Okay, so you feel that this is my person. I have this problem. I share with the person. You feel that you are very good with the person, but maybe it's because of something little the person feels. This person, some people just come to your life to just hinder you from
good.
Thank you.
I understand what you're saying, but so, I'm crafting a new path for myself where I'm trying to understand certain things on my own. What you're saying is true. There are people who come in your life to hinder. I'm giving everybody the opportunity to come to me. Let me experience it. When I experience it with you and you fall back or I fall away, then I'm able to attest to what you're saying, that there are people who come into your life to hinder growth.
So I always ensure that anybody that I'm in contact with, I learn something. Okay, so if...
Who is the new person you're in contact with and what are you learning from this new person?
Well, I'm in contact with a new person.
What are you learning from this person? Or what have you learned so far from this person?
So far, it's been great. It's been amazing.
What have you learned?
He's given me advice on life, how to plan my life, my career, my family. He gives me day-to-day guidance.
I want you to like let us in one particular thing or one particular story or something he said. I'm like, you know, damn, this is it. He said this and I'm like, wow.
He told me, you don't need to depend or rely on your parents. You don't need to rely on your husband that much. Build yourself up.
You don't need to rely on your parents, husband. You should build yourself up. But you are grown up, so I don't think you rely on your parents so much. So
you don't understand.
You
see, sometimes situations arises and then you have to fall back on your parents for
support.
Yes. Not necessarily financial support, but emotional
support.
And he was like, what if tomorrow your parents are not there? Then who do you fall on? So he gives me life advices on how to build my emotional strength. Okay. I shouldn't rely on my husband that much. He's like, see, I'm a man.
Okay.
And if you come to me for every little thing, it gets to a point in time. I don't value you that much like how I valued you when we started.
Yeah.
So you improve yourself, then let my husband, let's do this project, okay? Let's take this step to improve it. All the time, you are of great importance to your husband or your partner because he or she knows that you are always aiming for the next best thing for the family. And how do you do that? By improving yourself. So he tells me, listen, situations do come, but now you have the chance. This is God being so good. My husband got an opportunity for a scholarship, so he gave it to me, and then I was paid just like that. Okay, now you have the chance to improve yourself. Finish the degree. If they are offering masters, you take it. If it is job opportunity they are into, you can get employment in. You don't just focus on the education. How do you improve yourself personally? Because academics, everybody goes to school.
Yeah.
But it's your interpersonal relationship, how you carry yourself along.
This person is really improving your life in a way.
Because
everything I see right now, like, it's a lot. How to improve your interpersonal self, how to improve your relationship with your husband.
And I'll tell you, I got to know this person in 2022.
So it's new.
It's been just a year.
Your life was like before this person coming in.
I'm very, very introverted. Even when I'm going through situations, yeah, I like to keep to myself. Okay, but this person made me open up.
I'm just wondering how, like, the whole proposal with your husband came about. Because if you like to keep things up, when you can't see, you know, I'm feeling it and I want to marry you. Did you keep it up? How do you respond?
I told him I don't want it.
So that means you're able to open up. That means you're able to open up in a way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I want us to be friends. I don't want to be friends. I don't want friends. I don't want friends because tomorrow you tell me, let's go out.
Yeah.
Let's go here. And I don't like going out. I prefer to be in the house. Finish what I have to do in the house. And now it's me and my television.
Yeah. You mentioned you found a space in the media landscape where you're making impact.
Yeah.
That's healing. And you said, we've been told it. That's what you said.
Yes.
And I asked you, what is the name of your program? And you mentioned Mental
Wellness
Show, okay, which basically is talking about mental health.
Yes.
And you said we've been through it.
Yes.
So let us in. What was it?
Okay, so at the time, you know, it's now that people are conscious of mental health issues. Far back as 2004, 2005,
yeah,
I didn't know what mental health is.
Yes.
I didn't know what depression was. Stress, depression, I didn't know what it was. But I have been through it.
You've been through it.
And I've contemplated suicide.
Oh my God. Suicide again?
Twice.
My guest doesn't speak about suicide.
So you see, that's why I say I have been through it. Twice.
What
happened? I was in JSS by then.
What happened?
I don't know, but a lot was going on at the time. And you see, I'm very introverted, but when I click with you,
you open up.
Yes. Things begin to change. Okay. And I start to ask, what did I do wrong?
Yeah,
where did I go wrong?
Yeah.
I refuse to see that the problem is from the other person. I refuse to see that, no, I'm enough. The problem is not for me. The issue is not for me. Okay. Because if I live with you, then I open up.
Yeah.
So when things begin, problems or issues begin to arise, okay, then I feel that, no, then there's something I'm not doing right. I refuse to accept that maybe the problem is coming from you. Yeah. But I put the blame on myself and all that, and it's emotionally draining.
Yeah.
It leads to depression.
So,
self-doubt.
Yes. Starting your program with mental health,
yes,
why do you think most people tend to blame themselves when something goes wrong?
Because low self-esteem, or it's because of things that has been said to them from childhood.
Yeah.
And childhood traumas are very hard to shake off.
Hard to shake off?
Yes.
Because you mentioned as a young child, that's when you were suicidal, you were contemplating suicide.
Yes, that was in...
So what are some of the things that was being told to you that made you... blame yourself. What are some of the things you heard and it informed you, like, you know...
There were family issues.
Family issues.
And I thought... I wasn't being given the needed attention like my siblings.
Like neglection?
Of course.
Oh God. First person I interviewed, neglection.
No, it wasn't necessarily neglection, but to me it was.
How did it look like for you to think it was neglection?
Okay, so I lived with my dad and my stepmom. So every little thing, she can just wake up one morning and then she decides not to talk to you. You don't know what you've done.
And that was draining for you?
Of course.
I mean, some stepmothers are hitting their stepdaughters with something and she was
not
talking to
you. Here is the case.
And it was draining.
You just woke up in the morning and we are taught that when you wake up in the morning, you greet the elders in the house.
Yeah.
So here's the case, I've greeted you in the morning. You've responded. So finish your morning chores and then come.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see other things to do for the day. And then you finish and then you go out and she's silent.
And it was draining for you mentally?
Just like that. That is not what is draining.
Okay.
What is draining is that she goes to the kitchen to cook and she won't allow you to touch anything.
That means you're free.
No, and my dad will come back and then she'll complain. And I didn't help in the house. She was sitting down and watched me cook. She won't let you touch anything. And then when she finished, she'll set a table for you to eat the food she cooked. If you don't eat, there's a problem. And when you sit down to eat, she's standing there waiting for you. And then she'll say, Onyedba wofiena sa anshoma. Wotima ona se lida. Itu kreiz banis win more ha. Iti.
Explain it. Okay.
You are in the house.
Yeah.
And when they are cooking, you don't help out.
Yeah.
But when they finish and they serve you, you would eat. When you take one, the food will insult you.
Okay.
So she's standing there and then she's saying
all
these things.
Saying all these words to you.
Yes. And then you force yourself. When you don't eat, it becomes a problem. And when you eat, this is what is being said. Okay. And then the moment you take the last mouthful, she takes the bowl and washes it herself.
That means you're not doing anything. Like a princess, in a way.
In a way.
Because you don't do anything.
You don't do
she
anything.
She does everything. You eat, she washes your dishes and everything.
Okay.
But when your dad comes, that's when the trouble is. She doesn't help me with anything. And what does your dad do?
And when you are eating, the comments
she starts
that
singing is, the comments out.
Seriously? For a child, it is very...
What age?
12, 13.
For 12, 13. I mean, right now, 12, 13, you're out there doing a lot of things. So if I had this, any 12 years right now, I had this treatment, like, you know.
They'll be happy, but,
yeah.
You know. By then, now things have changed a lot. When you don't, even when you're forcing them to come and learn something, they are, mommy, give me freedom.
But
by then.
But what does your dad say when he comes back from work? Oh, this war. Not dead. What does he do?
What will you do? He'll just caution you.
Yeah.
Caution you. Without letting you explain how everything came about.
You know, they say the elders are always right.
Thank
so.
You. It is now that we are learning to give the children a chance to also talk. But by then, whether the fault is from you, you are right or wrong, you are declared guilty as a child. The adults are always right.
So that means treatment from your stepmother led you like to start contemplating suicide?
Yes.
Oh. But did you communicate it to anybody that, you know,
this is
what
I wanted to do?
What was your mom by then?
My mom was somewhere else. I'm not allowed to go to my mother's.
You're not allowed to go to mom's school.
I was with my mom, and then my dad was like, come and stay with me. I'm like, let me stay with my mom, because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Like, you stay with your mom, then I wash my hands off you. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Because you're not with me. So I don't need to stress myself or worry.
Yeah.
Okay. And I always say, so far as I am writing your name, then you need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
I don't write my mother's name.
You write your dad's name.
I write my dad's name. So you should step up to your responsibilities. So you don't have to tell me that if I'm not with you, then you are washing your hands off. So, for my dad not to wash his hands off, so I had to
go and stay with him.
I completed SHS before coming back to my mom. When I completed SHS, a year later, the treatment was still. Because I remember I had to go and write North Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Math
was a problem. Math was the only subject I couldn't pass. So I had to go and write
it. Retake that paper again.
Yes. So I went to find a school to register and go for classes. Okay. Luckily, I was given the registration fee. So I paid the registration fee and I was registered for North Deck. But the classes fee for me to sit in the class to be taught before there was it. The money was given and then my stepmother used it to pay excursion fee.
Excursion fee for who?
My siblings, my younger ones. So I sat there and I'm like, my mom is not dead. Now I've completed the SHS, so let me just go back. So I came back to my mom's place and then my mom, by then I was left with 1 month for North Deck. My mom and my uncles had to rally, take me to another place to go for classes and then go and write the North Deck. If I'm no more, she'll be comfortable.
Yes, she will.
She'll be comfortable.
She'll be comfortable everywhere. No more. Your stepmother will be comfortable.
Yeah. It's like I wouldn't be a problem for her. She wouldn't have to see me all the time.
That was what was going on in your head. And so therefore I have to go away.
Yeah.
So that means you're sacrificing yourself for somebody else, happiness or what?
No, I wasn't sacrificing for
you. Yeah, I mean, if you
I was sacrificing for myself. I'm sacrificing for myself so that all these treatments
will be over.
Yes.
So I'm saying if you are to go, that means you'll be sacrificing yourself for her to be happy.
I wasn't thinking about her happiness.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about me. Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about me ending all the emotional stress that was going on. I would say it was emotional abuse.
Emotional abuse.
So I was thinking about ending all the emotional abuse.
So what were the ways you were thinking of, like, you know,
so
going away?
I thought about stabbing myself. Okay.
With a what, knife?
With a knife.
Okay.
I tried it.
You tried? Okay. You tried it?
Yeah. On my wrist. I tried it. And
it
then
actually cuts your wrist.
And I'm very afraid of pain, but I just, and I did it late at night when everybody was asleep. And a friend of mine, our next door neighbor, he left something at our place, so he was coming for it, and then he saw me. The knife was there, and I was just going to my house. Hey, what are you doing? So the knife just fell out. Then he spoke to me and all that.
So
then the second one, so we hushed it. So my dad didn't even know.
No.
My mom didn't even know.
Stepmom didn't know.
Nobody knew. And then the second one, I went to the drugstore to buy drugs. So I was like, if I want to go, I'd like my mom to go in the comfort of my mom, in the arms of my mom. So I took a car, came to my mom's place, bought the drugs, because I know the time everybody is in the house. So I knew that my mom would get home around 4 from work. So I knew that by the time she would come, it would be too late. She would just come and meet me, and then hold me whilst the last breath goes away.
Oh,
so I bought the drugs and everything. I go home and nobody was in the house. I took the drugs, took water. The moment I was going to put the drugs into my mouth, my grandmother just came. My grandmother just came.
Out of nowhere, she just came in, like, you know.
She was like, she was somewhere, but something kept pushing her to come home. So she had to leave the program she was at, the meeting she was at, to come home. Because something just kept pushing her, go home, go home. So when she came.
So going through all these stages in life as a young girl, contemplating suicide, your parents now, how are you making sure that if your child is going through something, she's able to open up to you, okay, for her not to contemplate all these kind of things?
We talk a lot.
You talk a lot.
My child knows the program I do.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it. And we have a rule in the house.
A rule?
Yes.
What's that?
Anything that happens in school, when you come, you tell me how your day went.
And are you sure she's telling you everything?
Yes.
How do you make sure
she's telling you everything? Even the smallest thing.
How do you make sure she's telling you everything?
So she will tell me and tell me, somebody took my pen.
So that's when you know she's telling you everything. How old is she?
She's 11.
She's 11. Does she know the story about you?
No.
Do you intend on telling her someday?
Of course. When she's 18 or 15.
When she's 18 or 15.
15 or 18.
Amazing. So in your adult life, have you still contemplated suicide?
No.
No. How better off are you now?
Well, now I know to speak up of this, anything. If I don't feel comfortable with the change and then I don't understand it, I'll have to ask you.
Absolutely.
Why there's a change.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means you have like a strong, real power now, like, you know, able to speak up and free from, like, you know, contemplating.
Yes.
Any suicide.
Yeah.
So what is the one thing you tell to anybody right now who is going through what you've been through before?
You are enough.
You are enough. What does that mean to you? You are enough.
It means a lot.
It means a lot.
It means if the situation goes bad, that is not necessarily my fault. Maybe the relationship has run its course. I'm enough.
But how has our country embraced your problem, mental health? Because you mentioned people don't really pay attention to mental health a lot. So how are people embracing it? Embracing mental health conversation.
Little by little, we are coming up.
What has been your highlight?
My highlight is when an NGO who also deals with mental health issues commented on one of my posts.
Oh, that's nice. Wow.
And then they told me, thank you for what you are doing. And then my guest that I've brought on my program said, thank you very much, you are doing well. Thank you for shining the light on mental health.
One thing I want to ask every guest, what is life like if you are not connected?
If you are not connected?
Yeah, you don't come from, you know.
Life is how you make it.
Yeah.
Life is how you make it. We do need connections, but how well do you handle the connections that you have? So life is how you make it. It's not necessarily the connections.
It's not necessarily about the connection. So life is how you make it. It's not necessarily about the connections.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Tina, for being on Chasing the Current. Before you go, I want you to let people put yourself out there where people can reach you, find you.
Okay, so the Mental Wellness Show is on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, The Mental Wellness Show.
The Mental
Wellness Show on YouTube. And then the Counselor Psychologist. That is the page on Facebook.
Counselor Psychologist. That is the page on Facebook.
Or you can reach me on 0263-114069.
If you enjoy this conversation, you know, click on this follow button, get notified to make sure you get notified in other future episodes.